Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Now I've started a conversation with a bot. Limits.
Those never go well. Is it the same bot that you want me to date, Joe? Is that the bot that you're currently talking to?
Listen.
Giving you issues, so the bot would give me dating issues.
I could ask this bot if she knows any other bots that might be interested in dating you. Mm. That could go well. I don't know.
I think it would go poorly.
Is anybody on the texting giving me sinus answers? Anybody? Is there an ENT out there who would help me? Anybody?
No, not really. That's a nurse practitioner has texted into the show.
Yeah.
And said that there's a type of antibiotic that you need, or it could be a viral infection that could last a month. Uh-oh. And asks, what antibiotic are you on?
I don't know what the name of it was. It was, like you said, it was a name that went on for an hour. I don't know what it was.
Another texter says an ENT is going to recommend having nasal polyps removed.
Oh, my God.
Polyps.
Yes, polyps. Oh, my God. Think it's funny, Cavalli? Do you think that Joe's sinus issues are funny?
No, how you pronounce polyps was funny.
Yeah, that's funny. It was.
Do either one of you know... I have a trivia question for you. Who had the highest completion rate on goal-to-go passes last year in the NFL? Would you each like a guess at that? Warren Sharp just put this out. It's goal-to-go. Who's the most accurate passer in the league? Mark? Wrong. Limits?
Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Lamar Jackson.
Right.
Wow.
He's exactly right. At 69%, followed by Jordan Love, Bo Nix, mm-hmm. Baker Mayfield, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Prescott, and one Aaron Rodgers at 57%. All of them ahead of Joe Burrow. How do you like that, big boy?
I love it. I got it right.
She says, good afternoon. I'm sorry you are dealing with this. I will be happy to.
No, the bot has no
feelings.
Should
I ask her? Her name is Jennifer. Should I ask her or if she knows any bots who would go out with
you? No, you should not. The bot has no emotions. Robots do not have feelings. They do not have emotions. They are not people. They are objects.
You've never watched Terminator.
No, because
yeah, exactly.
It's not real.
Or SpongeBob SquarePants.
Because
where
it's not real.
Plankton married a computer lady.
Because
do
it's
you
a
remember
TV
that?
Show.
Remember that, Mark?
I'm not much of a SpongeBob guy, Joe.
I wasn't allowed to watch SpongeBob growing up, Cavalli.
What is corrupting about SpongeBob?
That does not surprise me.
No, doesn't. Do you allow your children to watch SpongeBob?
Dude, they watch whatever they want. It's a different game now, buddy. They go on YouTube, and as soon as I hear a swear word, I'm like, turn that off. It's YouTube, man. You can't get them away from it.
Run it out. Do you ever yell, run it out to your kids whenever they're playing baseball?
Yes, and you know, another thing I do is, Hammer Dan. Is that what it was?
Oh, yeah. Hammer Dan, Cabali.
Like good old Todd Graham. All right, Cabali. What gives you reason to believe that this is a good offense for Aaron Rodgers?
Hammer Dan, Cabali.
Who was that?
That was the fan.
You were enough.
Hammer Dan, Cabali. Hammer Dan, Cabali.
That's right. That was the fan on the south side
That's
confronting
right.
him. Did that guy turn out to be a legit yinzer or an imitator?
No, that dude was legit, man.
One more time, Limits. You know,
Hammer Don Cabali.
Oh, is that good? What did I ask you? Oh, why should we believe that this is a good offense for Rodgers?
I think Arthur Smith is a better coordinator than he showed last year, to be honest with you. I think he was hamstrung from times of what Russell could have did, what Justin was able to do, the offensive line. I think Metcalf's better than Pickens. I think Austin can be better. I like the way Darnell Washington. I mean, this is all March and June talk right now. How that really portrays out in September and October, we don't know. But I think the quarterback and his – he still has the arm. And he's not going to lose the smarts. His legs are good enough, not maybe to run for 50 yards in a game or even in a season, but I think it can put him in position to be able to be successful. It all comes down to the offensive line. I think everybody's going to have to pick up their game, but I do believe the way Aaron Rodgers throws the ball really meshes well with what DK Metcalf likes to do with the quick slants, catch and go type of stuff.
Yeah.
He likes to use tight ends, and you heard him yesterday, Joe, just bragging up Freiermuth and Darnell Washington. So
do you think Mount Washington can bring that out in him, that Rodgers can bring the receiver out in him?
Not Mercedes Lewis type, but a lot better than he was the first 2 years.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I mean, first of all, he got the number one big thing on his side right now, Darnell Washington. The quarterback likes him.
Yeah.
He's noticed him really quickly. So that should go a long way in helping Darnell out, at least targeting him as well. I mean, we haven't even mentioned Kenny Gainwell, and a lot of people love him of what he can possibly bring now to that team. So I think they're very versatile, but there's a lot of ifs too. I mean, if the offensive line is going to step up, if that number two guy is going to be there, is Jalen Warren and Caleb Johnson going to be good?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm really curious to see Caleb Johnson. I'm excited to see him. Fan Twitter,
that's
bro.
That's the one guy that Aaron Rodgers couldn't remember his name.
Well, he's going to – I think he might lead the team in touches by the end of it, so he'll certainly know his name by then. Yeah, fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Now this bot has me waiting. Please hold for a moment while I reach out to them. That was 5 minutes ago, limits.
Who are they reaching out to?
The Starkey and Palm Show.
I don't know. They're reaching out to the office to see if they can see me. This is an emergency. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show is on the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's talk about T.J. Watt and his – no. The offensive line is where I wanted to go first because you've mentioned them a couple times. So, Futanu, we only saw him in a real brief cameo. It didn't go well, but it was only his first preseason game.
Yeah.
Does he look like he's completely overcome the injury? Does he look like the high-impact guy they thought they were getting?
Yeah, he definitely does. I mean, what he is right now is he's a – second year guy, but we almost look at him as a rookie because he didn't play that very much. Although he's the one that did supplant Broderick Jones last year. You know, they were more interested in playing him over Broderick Jones until Fautanu got hurt. What was it, in Denver maybe the week after that? So, yeah, he's different than Broderick Jones. Fautanu is a guy that I think was more game-ready, NFL-ready, right off the get-go than potentially Broderick Jones. So I don't think it's going to take him long to get up to speed. I would imagine it's going to be very quickly with him. He's going to be up there and he's going to be good. The whole offensive line, I think, is solid as can be, but it all hinders on what Broderick Jones can do. He can
– hinges.
Honestly, I hate to put it on one guy, man, but he can make this whole thing fail.
All right, let's talk about him. I was just astounded by how different his face looked. He looked like, you know, like chiseled all of a sudden. Was it that noticeable for you, just watching him move around and how he looked?
Yeah, I mean, he's always had that athletic build. I mean, he can dunk by just standing at the, you know, underneath the hoop and reaching up and dunking.
You've seen him do that?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it like a couple of years ago. He had put some videos out there. Big three-point shooter, you know. He's that type of athleticism. So he's always had that athleticism in him there. He just doesn't have enough time, man. What did he play? 12, 15 games in college, if that? I mean, he just doesn't have a lot of time under that helmet. That's what he needs to do, and is more reps he's able to get. And that's why it's taking him longer right now. But yeah, he's slimmed down a little bit. But it's a fine line between slimming down and being able to handle, you know, pretty big, powerful edge rushers. I mean, can he handle Myles Garrett right now if they put him over him? I don't know.
Garrett's a pretty
big human being.
Who can single blocking, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretty big – what I'm saying is I think this that pretty much indicates where you want to go with this offensive line is they want to be an athletic line that does that outside zone. So you're going to need those guys to be very quick. And that's where Fatonu Frazier, even McCormick, are able to do that. So I think he fits in, but he got to get things right in between the head first, and that's the key.
Man, I'll tell you this much. If those two guys, you know, grow into their pedigree and are really good together, to me, that changes everything. And that's what they drafted him for, to be really, really good. That could change a lot of things.
They got very lucky grabbing Mason McCormick in what, late fourth? This is a guy that looks like he's going to be one of those solid Ramon Foster type players where maybe he's not the best guy on the offensive line, but he's extremely reliable and very, very smart and be able to do his job well.
Yeah.
So Zach Frazier, I've been saying this for a while. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler in my eyes.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he looked great. He did. That looks like a great draft pick. Limits.
All right, Mark, I'm curious your thoughts on how and why, at least to this point, you already think that the Steelers have a budding star in Caleb Johnson at running back. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot goes into that. I mean, you're not going to see anything that in OTAs or mini camp other than how he looks, how he moves. Because I don't even think they ran a running play the entire 3 weeks that they were out there. But when you have a coordinator who likes to run the ball, when you have a budding offensive line could be good, and you have a talented running back stable, I think it all sets up for him if he's able to do what he did in college or what we saw in college, to be a guy who can jump in and not only get the tough yards, but add that little extra piece of what they were missing of being able to make some long runs here. I mean, this is just purely based off of just what he looks like right now and what he did in college, surrounded about what he's surrounded by right now. He has a lot of, once again, that word again, potential here, but I think he is going to be good. Maybe not, he might not be a 1,000-yard rusher this year, but if we're looking in 4 years from now, I bet you he has better numbers than Najee Harris 4 years from now. You know, you add those 4 years up, first four for Najee and the first four for Caleb, I think it's going to be much better.
Right now, at this point on June, whatever it is, give me your Steelers record. Do they win the division? Do they make the playoffs?
I think they'll be in the mix to win the division. I still think that I'll say an 11-win team, probably on the high end. Was that 11-6? And I think they'll be in the conversation for the division up until December again. So was there another part of that, just division in that?
Well,
no, I think they'll make the playoffs.
Are they going to win a playoff game? Or at least be competitive in one?
Yes, pending – considering if Aaron Rodgers is still there, I think that's where the Aaron Rodgers situation comes in hit right now is I think he'll give them a better chance to win a playoff game at quarterback than anybody they had since Ben. So I think they will be competitive. Will they win? That's 6 months from now. I don't know. But I think if they get in, they would definitely be more competitive than they have. What was it been, 45?
Yeah.
I don't even know what it's been.
Yeah. Thank you. 73-0, but who's counting in the first quarters at least of those games? Thank you, big boy. Have a nice day.
Okay, we'll see you, brother.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Mark.
Nice man. No?
Yes, he has his moments.
How about him just walking by the first piece of clothing he saw and putting it on this morning, and it was laying on the floor?
What do you think he was wearing before that, then? Just a regular T-shirt? Was he cutting grass, and he had a grass-stained shirt? What was it?
I don't know. I don't know. He had a sweatshirt on, and it's a million degrees outside. Now, that doesn't...
Maybe it's cold in the Cavalli household. I know. Maybe they're keeping it at a cool 66 degrees.
Good point.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
All right, Limits, the first half is in the book for the Pirates. They're on pace to lose 98 games. They are a colossal, colossal disappointment in a year that they said very specifically it's time to win. Pretty much all they've done is lose. They've stabilized somewhat under Don Kelly. They were 12-26 under Shelton. They're 3 games under with Don Kelly, but let's make no mistake about this. It has been an unmitigated disaster with what's gone on and off the field. Just something that you hope never to see again in your lifetime, honestly. Skeens is obviously the MVP. So I ask you, other than Skeens, who is the Pirates' first half MVP after 81 games?
Oh, boy. Wrong. That's a great question, Joe. And that's why you asked them. I'm going to say that the Pirates MVP through this point has been, you might be surprised, Donnie Kelly, the manager that has stepped in, stabilized things a little bit, and is now starting to show something that the old manager never did with O'Neill Cruz, give him a day off and publicly say, yeah, he was benched for hustle and benched for lack of effort. Donnie Kelly, with not a lot of candidates, is my other MVP.
Very tricky choice there. I'm going to take McCutchen. You know, he's at about a 744 OPS, 406 slug. His 338 on base is pretty good. On pace for 16 homers. He's been pretty good. You know, would you want more from a DH? Would you want a guy to hit 35 home runs? Of course. But I'll say other than Skeens, I'll go with McCutchen. Are we forgetting any other pitchers here, Limits?
I think Bednar could maybe find his way into this conversation with the way he's pitched outside of those first couple of games in Miami.
How about little Bailey Falter at 6-3 with a 3.59 ERA?
Yes, he's had a really good season. I thought about him too before giving my answer.
Thank you for pointing out that I pointed him out. Yes. Who's your LVP, your least valuable player through 81 games?
Oh, boy. My LV.
A lot of candidates.
You could go back to the Jack Sawinski well, even though he hasn't been here. You can go back to the Henry Davis well. But I have to stick with Key Brian Hayes. He is my LVP. There has been a lot that has been expected of him, especially with the long-term deal. He's been very good defensively. Broadcast was talking last night how he's projected to win another Gold Glove, but he just can't hit anything. Colin Holderman, also a good candidate here.
I think, in my humble opinion, there's only one candidate, and that's the $100 million man himself, and that's Brian Reynolds, sitting here halfway through the season with a minus 0.5 war. He's literally, at least based on that stat, whatever you might think of that stat, the worst player on the team. The worst player on the team is the highest paid player on the team. He's only on pace for 16 home runs. He's hitting 233 with a sickly little 304 on base percentage and a 677 OPS. He's just absolutely killed them. You know, let's just be honest. He has absolutely killed them. He leads the team in at-bats, but not a lot has happened. He, to me, is their LVP. That rhymes.
It's so crazy to me that their leader in RBIs is O'Neill Cruz this year with just 31 in 71 games.
Yeah.
And 102 strikeouts.
It's incredulent, all right.
No, it's not.
What's the best moment, the single best moment of the season for you? limits.
Hold on one second. Do you know who's fourth on the team in home runs right now?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Fourth on the team in home
runs? Fourth on the team in home runs.
Adam Frazier?
Henry Davis with four is fourth on the team in home runs. Cruz, 13. McCutchen and Reynolds both have 8.
Yeah.
Henry Davis is fourth on the team in homers. That's indicative of what this season has been. He's only played 35 games.
Best moment of the season is what? Best single moment of this season. I actually have had to think about this for a long, long time. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah, I have to think about it too. I'm going to say...
And you're not
going
to believe who's involved in my best moment. Did McCutchen reach any milestones this year yet?
Yes, when he surpassed Roberto Clemente.
That was a good moment.
That is my moment. Yeah. When he surpassed Clemente at PNC Park on the all-time home run list, 241 as a Pirate.
How about Tommy Pham's single to beat the Yankees in 11 innings? Do you remember that one? Limits?
No, in fact, I don't. It was so long ago.
Well, then forget that one. There was also a 13-inning win against the Cardinals where Joseph Bart had the game-winning hit in the 13th. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one.
Looking at the photo right now, there's literally one person in the stands behind home plate. What else? I don't remember one. A great catch? What would have been the great catches? Great plays? Big hits.
They've had a couple of walk-offs. Gonzalez has had some big hits. Gonzalez going 5 for 5 was cool.
That wasn't a moment. It was a game. Although him getting his 5th hit was a moment, wasn't it?
How about the relay from Tommy Pham to IKF to Henry Davis at the plate to nab the runner?
No, I forgot all about it. Yeah, I completely forgot about it. How about, what did Skeens do with Ohtani the first time they played? That, to me, was the best game of the season, other than Milwaukee the other night, was Pirates 3-0. You remember that one, Limits?
I do, yeah. They played a really, really good all-together game. What about Paul Skeens against the Mets when he ultimately lost his complete game that he started, going 8 innings on the road, and the Buccos lost? Is that an all-time sad moment of the season?
It was sad, but I don't have any memory of it, so how can it be sad? Why am I forgetting everything that happened?
Well, it's been a memorable season for a lot of the long.
You know, it was a great
reasons,
moment.
Like the Bucko Bricks.
Who struck out Yelich the other night? Why am I forgetting his name?
Carmen Majinski.
No. The other guy who's up here.
Braxton Ashcraft.
No.
Isaac Madsen.
Yes, Madsen. Yeah. That was a
from
great
Pitt.
Moment.
Yeah,
you're right, from Pitt. That was a great moment this season. I don't know. There just haven't been a lot of them, have
no,
there?
No, there is not. That's just when you're a team that's what? As many games under 500 as they are, you're not going to get that many moments.
I can't think of any others. Can you?
No, not really.
Did the Exxon Valdez have a good moment?
Early in the season, he had a couple of big hits.
What about the Gorski and Mongoose? Did he have a good one?
He had a home run in what, his first at bat?
That was a good moment.
That was cool.
Yeah. Poor little Leover Peguero.
Yeah, he just can't get on the field.
He never gets to play.
No.
Brett Sullivan getting to play was a nice little treat for everyone, wasn't it?
And then they DFA'd him 1 week later.
That wasn't such a nice
moment.
No
more Sully.
I don't know, man. Now I'm going to ask you what the worst moment was. Do you have 8 hours?
Sheesh.
I mean, what's the worst moment?
The Bucko Bricks.
I was just going to say that.
Has to be the worst moment.
The moment that KDK story broke and you saw the crumbled Bucko Bricks.
In a recycling plant.
At Reserve Township. Yeah. There was something very metaphorical and profoundly sad about that.
They were throwing away the memories of so many fans that had their brick outside the stadium.
Those were the hearts of Pirates fans in tatters in a recycling bin.
A huge broken heart, Joe.
I mean, obviously the worst moment of the season was the guy falling over the Clemente wall.
Yes, that could have been
That was
deadly,
absolutely horrifying.
Deadly scene. So the worst, very, very... fortunate that nothing, it was horrible what happened, but nothing even tragic ended up being the result.
What's the worst in-game moment of the season. Nick Gonzalez hitting a homer and breaking his leg as he runs the bases.
No, I don't. He didn't break. He what did he do?
Discovered. He re-broke it. Yeah, something happened.
He re-injured like his ankle or something right. as he was hopping around the bases.
Yeah, you're right. The whole thing's been a disaster.
How about O'Neill Cruz bobbling a ball in center and then throwing the ball all the way to the backstop over everyone's head?
Yes, that would be
one. That was interesting. How about when O'Neill Cruz didn't play and Shelty said that he wanted to get him off his feet, Joe? What did you like that moment?
I love that moment. How about when it was revealed on the first day of spring training that they had a one-armed first baseman, that Spencer Horwitz
the first baseman.
Yeah, he didn't have, one of his arms wasn't functioning at the time.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Very sad, yeah.
Probably Jared Jones not playing is a very
That was a bad moment when he got hurt.
Not
right
being able to pitch at all this year, and he's going to miss a lot of next year.
How about the biggest surprise for you, Malzi? I mean limits from the first 81 games. The biggest surprise could be anything. Could be something attendance related. Could be anything related to the Pirates. Could be the performance of a player. What's been the biggest surprise to you?
Honestly, that they moved off of the manager. Like, I thought that they were going to end up keeping the manager for the long haul if they didn't make the move at the beginning of the season, or rather at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, the circumstances be what they may, they really didn't have any other choice, or at least they shouldn't have had any other choice but to do what they ultimately did. But it still was a little bit surprising to me that they made that decision.
I think the biggest surprise to me is that Tommy Pham is still here. I mean, it is just incredible. And I know the last couple games he's actually hit, but it's a little late now. This is like Rowdy all over again.
That's why I'm not that surprised.
I mean,
because it is a carbon copy of what we've seen from Rowdy, even though Pham has been worse than Rowdy.
This is an unmitigated disaster, to use that phrase again. What has been the biggest disappointment for you of the whole season, other than the Bucko Bricks?
That they are 4-6 in Paul Skenes starts, or at least Paul Skenes is 4-6. This is a world record with a 180 ERA.
That's a good one.
I mean, that's just unfathomable to me.
Keller has a 4.02 ERA and is 1-10. Talk about unfathomable. Those two guys combined have an ERA of like 5.8.
And 16 losses.
And they're 5-16. It was rather disappointing that a stadium employee beat a fan with a belt, if you want to include that in this category.
Did you see that our friend Rowdy was DFA'd earlier this month by Seattle, the Mariners?
Yeah.
He has 11 home runs this year, but he's hitting .208.
What's going to be the biggest development of the second half?
What the Pirates do at the trade deadline and what becomes of Bubba Chandler, because he's struggling right now in his last few starts in AAA. When does he get called up, and how effective is he when he gets here, especially with the walks? And do the Pirates actually make a big move at the deadline to acquire a bat?
Yeah, I'm thinking that way too. And unfortunately, I'm with you thinking things that happen in the minor leagues might be the biggest developments here. I'm watching to see how fast Connor Griffin, like if Connor Griffin gets to Altoona before the end of the year, then you figure he starts next year at Indy if he flourishes in Altoona, and then he's a phone call away. Termar Johnson, does he make it to Indy this year? And then I guess, and we can hear the Greg Brown clip one more time, I want to see if this comes to fruition with a big move. You're right. You're right. What happens at the deadline, and I saw where Joe Smeltzer, did you see him get after you there?
He did, yes. He went a little bit back and forth with me. So why would they acquire a bat right now when they are 18 or whatever games they are under .500?
Because it's not a rental bat. It's parlaying your pitching into a controllable bat for a few more years, and this might be a great time to get one, Joe.
And Joe also pointed out, and he said, and who would you give up to get them?
Bubba Chandler.
Well, Joe.
Mitch Keller.
Mitch Keller I would give up. David Bednar I would give up.
A lot of things I would give up to get a bat.
I get the sense Ben Cherington is looking to do something big. Talking to him on Sunday on that radio show, he discounted the idea. I mentioned, you know, maybe nothing just needs a tweak. And he didn't really want to use that word. And he also talked about not trying to trade for a rental. So I think something's brewing. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think he's going to pull a trigger on something.
Yeah, on a move that would make them like a buyer, you mean?
Well, in essence, yeah. I mean, but not just buying for the rest of this year. I mean, okay. I think that we say a buyer, oh, they're going to try and win this year. And I'm not saying that he's giving
You're
up on this
he's
year.
He's trying
but
to make a long-term move.
Yeah, but impactful. you know, not one of those guys that you get from double A or triple A guy that's going to be, you know, up in a couple years.
Yeah, a long-term impactful move. I mean, don't get that confused with, oh my God, how ridiculous that anybody would say the Pirates are a buyer at the deadline. It's not about this season. They're a buyer to get a controllable bat, hopefully, for the next 2-3 years, maybe longer. You know what, Limits? Honestly, my biggest disappointment this season is for brief moments, and maybe a little longer than that with Cruz, it looked like the two guys that I think, you know, a year, year and a half ago, we were all projecting would lead this offense and maybe be stars. Cruz and Henry Davis have backslid in a big, big, big way. A big way. O'Neill Cruz looked like he was a chance for 40-40 this year, and he's just been god-awful for a good month now. And today he's batting fifth instead of first, and it's just been really disappointing. Leads baseball in strikeouts. And then Henry Davis had a brief little renaissance there, and now he's still sitting at 183 with four homers. It looks terrible at the plate. And, you know, if you're betting, is this guy gonna make it or not as some sort of everyday impact player, I don't know who in their right mind thinks that evidence based on this season would indicate yes to that. It has to be leaning toward no, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, just given the sample size, given what we're seeing with our own two eyes. And I mean, sometimes I think that we get too consumed by numbers and analytics and stuff like that. And just watch the game. What are your eyes telling you just watching the game? And right now, Henry Davis still looks like he's taking huge swings, swinging for the fences every time. And O'Neill Cruz looks so in between where he doesn't know which pitch is coming and what pitch he should react to.
Thank you, Limits. That's all I have. We have to go. I know I wanted to get to a couple more things. I enjoyed the show thoroughly today.
We should get to college football tomorrow.
We will. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. Sunny today with a high of Kevin Green. Sounds like good weather for Bob to golf. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. And What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180. Visit them at Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Well, that's got to be Deontay Johnson for admitting he refused to report into an NFL game because it was too cold. Thank you, Limits.
Thank you, Joe.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.